This is Richard Barone. You've left regular radio behind, and you're listening to Exit 97.7 WEXT.
There's no place in this world where I belong when I'm gone. And I won't know the right from the wrong when I'm gone. You won't find me singing on this song when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And I won't feel the flowing of the time when I'm gone. All the pleasures of love will not be mine when I'm gone. My pen won't pour a lyric line when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. And air when I'm gone, and I can't even worry about my cares when I'm gone. I won't be asked to do my share when I'm gone, so I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. Yes, I have to do it while I'm here. I won't see the golden of the sun when I'm gone. And the evenings and the mornings will be one when I'm gone. I can't be singing louder than the guns when I'm gone. So I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. All my days won't be dances of delight when I'm gone, and the signs will be shifting from my sight when I'm gone. Can't add my name into the fight when I'm gone, so I guess I'll have to do it while I'm here. In this world where I belong when I'm gone, and I won't know the right from the wrong when I'm gone, and you won't find me singing on this song when I'm gone, so I guess I have to do it, I guess I have to do it, I guess I have to do it while I'm here.
We're live at EXT. We're recording this at Cafe Lena. Richard Barone, thank you so much.
My pleasure. It's a beautiful place to be for an interview.
And it's also the day of the total eclipse.
Yes, which is really historic and interesting and, you know, has a lot of meaning in so many ways. I think you go into an eclipse and you come out of an eclipse. I'm always hoping there's something better comes on the other side of the eclipse.
So Richard, tell me about Greenwich Village in the 1960s. Mm-hmm. What, I mean, obviously there's a lot of music there, but was there something special about the 1960s?
Oh yeah, well, the 1960s, you know, that I start the album with Buddy Holly at the end of the 50s, which was a very conservative, of course, decade and a very conservative era. And yet, in the middle of it, rock and roll emerged. That was the sign of things to come. That was a sign of, for one thing, a youth culture. A symbol of the rebellion that was to follow in the 60s. But that started with rock and roll in 1956 or so. By 1960, I think there was an amazing convergence, in my mind anyway, and I am working on a course for NYU about this. Let me just tell you that my feelings are that the combination of rock and roll mixed with the folk revival, mixed with a love and appreciation for Woody Guthrie and Pete Seeger, the Weavers, kind of digging up the past the way they did, the way Seeger would find with the Weavers many old songs. I think that combined with the new rock and roll of Buddy Holly and the others, but especially Buddy Holly, because he was kind of a nerdy guy with glasses and it was different. Those elements combined with the sort of ease of hearing blues and jazz in the village came together in like a whirling tornado of influences in one thing, and it became the singer-songwriter movement, which took elements from all of these things, which took elements of rock and folk, a lot of folk, heavy on the folk because it was easy to play with your acoustic guitar, elements of jazz improvisation, blues vocalizing. All of those became the singer-songwriter movement. All of the artists that I pay tribute to on this album have all those elements in them. You know, they all had jazz players play on their records and live shows, and a lot of folk influence, all of them did. So it was a magical time for music because all of these things came together to make a new genre. It's almost like making a new planet. It's almost like, if you're talking celestially, it formed a new world of pop music. And the most important thing about it, besides all of the musicality, was that people were writing their own words. And that was not really the norm before that. Buddy Holly happened to write his own songs, but say Elvis didn't. And the other rock and rollers, most of them, not all of them were writers. Some were and some were, most were not. In general, artists got their songs elsewhere, from Broadway or movies or Brill Building, houses that wrote songs for people. This was a mass exodus from that, where all of these artists wrote their own songs, rarely did covers, maybe one cover, or they would do some, maybe an old folk song in their set, but the focus was on their originals. You know, it was a very interesting rebellion against being told what to do. This was symbolic of the youth movement that became the 60s. This, what we know as the 60s, was formed, I think, musically at least, by these people. And that's my neighborhood.
In your neighborhood.
I'm proud of my neighborhood.
Absolutely. And it's a beautiful shot, too, on the cover
Thank
of your
record.
Thank you.
That's 2 a.m. on Waverly Place.
2 a.m.?
Yeah, 2 a.m.
You are a night owl,
aren't you? I'm a night owl. My friend Nathaniel, who took that picture, is a designer. And it was just, I saw the light in the street that night, and he liked it. And he says, you know, why don't we do your cover now? And I was like, okay. What I really like about the front cover is that shadow of me, because that to me represents the shadow of those who walked that street before me, including John Sebastian and so many that are on the album itself, and that lived right around me. I mean, on that street, 11th, that's 11th and Waverly. And I think Sebastian lived on that block. The Mamas and the Papas were down the block. And it was very much a community.
And the album is called Sorrows and Promises, Greenwich Village in the 1960s. Richard Burrell is my guest here, and we're up at Cafe Lena with this, because I mean, where else would you record an interview and a session about the folk scene in the 1960s, but yeah. A place that opened in 1960,
and of course this was famously Bob Dylan's first, after moving to New York, his first out of town show was here at Cafe Lena.
Now, when you played your show here, mm-hmm. you slept here. You stayed here.
When I play here, I've played here twice. I love this venue. Both times I've slept here. It's the only venue, and I've been at this business a long time. This is the only venue that I like to sleep at, that I have slept at. I mean, I've slept in the recording studio only because if I'm working on an album, I've done that. But I've never slept in a venue except for Cafe Lena twice. And I do soak in think of it as the ghosts of the songs. Not necessarily the ghosts of the songwriters, but the ghosts of the music that's been played here. I like to sleep in the middle of it. And yeah, I stayed here last night.
That's awesome.
I love it.
Let's have you play a couple songs. What would you
sure.
like to play next?
Well, you know, one of the surprises, besides Buddy Holly being represented on this album, some people are surprised that Lou Reed is. But I really love the Velvet Underground and all of Lou's work, including his early work. He was a real mentor to me, a teacher, and I met him when I was 18 in New York at a guitar shop. And why don't we play I'll Be Your Mirror from their first album?
I'll be your mirror, reflect what you are. In case you don't know, I'll be the wind, the rain and the sunset, the light on your door, to show that you're home. And when you think the night has seen your mind, that inside you're twisted and unkind, I will stand to show that you are blind. Please put down your hands, 'cause I see you. I find it hard to believe you don't know the beauty you are. But if you don't, then let me be your eyes, your hand to the darkness, so you won't be afraid. And when you think the night has seen your mind, that inside you're twisted and unkind, I will stand to show that you are blind. Please put down your hands, 'cause I see you. hard to believe you don't know the beauty you are. But if you don't, then let me be your eyes, your hand to the darkness, so you won't be afraid. And when you think the night has seen your mind, that inside you're twisted and unkind, let me stand to show that you are blind. Please put down your hands, 'cause I see you.
Live at EXT.
The thing about Dion, he's such a iconic voice, but I think also technically one of the best voices in the rock era, really. So it was a thrill to work with him. And the story about this song is he had sort of come off all those hits with the Belmonts and the Teenager in Love, etc. Had already been a big star. When the Village folk scene was kicking, he sort of dropped into it and saw Bob Dylan and the others, and he really decided to change paths. And this song was really about that. And the subtitle, the road I'm on, in parentheses, Gloria. Gloria was Gloria Stavers of 16 Magazine, who he was in a relationship with, but also was part of the machinery that had made him a big pop star. So it's a goodbye both to Gloria Stavers in a personal way, and also a goodbye to that past, the idea of being that teenager in love idea, the runaround Dion. He's on a different path and wanted to be on a different path. So it's a goodbye to both the person and to his own past.
Since we last loved Gloria, the sun's gone up and down many times. Since we last loved Gloria, I've been sharing love with women of all kinds. But when summer ends and leaves start dying, you won't see a robin crying. He knows where the sun is hiding, to another nest he's flying. You gave me reason, now watch me roam. But the road I'm on, gal, won't run me home. Oh, 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 it won't run me home. Hear my words, Gloria, they're echoing from mountains with a cry. Hear my words, Gloria, you'll find them, gal, reflecting off the sky. Just feel it in the cold wind blowing, hear it in the river flowing, know it in the mind that's growing, see it 'cause the cards are showing. You gave if you're wondering, Gloria, I'm more than just a memory in the cold. If you're wondering, Gloria, I'll always be the keeper of my soul. Just loving you, I took my chances. Somehow I don't want the answers. I'll go on my way without you. Now and then I'll think about you. You gave me reason, now I gotta roam. But
So we're live at EXT, recording this at Cafe Lena. We've got Richard Barone here. Richard's album is called Sorrows and Promises, Greenwich Village in the 1960s. And you just sang us the song that Dion wrote back, you said, in the early 60s, mid-60s?
1964.
Wow.
That was the B-side of his first solo single for Columbia. And the A-side was called I'm Your Hoochie Coochie Man. So he was doing blues. On the B-side, he wrote his own song. Because again, even with Dion, other artists too, of course, their labels wanted them to do covers sometimes. I believe, I'm sure he loved doing I'm Your Hoochie Coochie Man anyway. But on the B-side, it's a song he wrote. And it was a very personal song about him, you know, following his own path. And that was what he did. I mean, he had changed styles completely and was making much less commercial or much less obviously commercial music by going pretty folky, really folky. I just love this song. I knew this song first because when Mark Bolan, my hero from T-Rex, was trying to get signed as an artist, he must have been 14 years old. It was in 1964. He demoed that song. After Mark died in the late 70s, I heard a demo of Mark Bolan singing The Road I'm On, Gloria. And I thought, wow, what an interesting song that is. I didn't really know the history of it and much else about it, but that's how I first heard it, was through Mark Bolan covering it. It's the only cover of the song that I'm aware of, other than mine. Certainly at that time, that was the only cover he got off that song. There may have been a few in the interim, but not that many. And I think Dion was pleased that I covered it now. And he sang it as a duet, and that was really cool to hear his voice. He still is one of the great American vocalists of all times. To have him sing these words about his own growth with me now was really a very special experience.
How would you describe the bongos? That was the band that I first was introduced to you by. What kind of music was that?
If you really ask me how to describe the bongos, I'd say we were music lovers who came up during the post-punk era, but never wanted to be glued into one particular genre. There were elements of folk rock in it, certainly. Listen to the Bulrushes or Zebra Club or so many of the songs. Those songs I'm still able to play in my Sorrows and Promises shows sometimes because they kind of fit in. But we were never glued to one thing because it was truly a band and every member of the group brought in their own influences. Like our bass player Rob was really into jazz and Sun Ra and Captain Beefheart and the Magic Band and a lot of avant-garde and psychedelic influences. I tend to come from my own real passion was a lot of times sort of the British rock, the Beatles, starting with the Beatles, but really wheelhouse. That's the word. A wheelhouse was more the Brit rock kind of thing, but of all the eras, like Bowie and Roxy Music and Brian Eno, etc. That was where I was coming from when I came into the bongos. The drummer was into different things, harmonies, and he was into the groups like Flamin' Groovies. Everybody had their own thing, and I think when it came together, it was a unique sound.
Yeah, oh, definitely. When I played the bongos on the radio, it was a pop rock band, and so for me to hear you doing these folk songs now, it's not like it's a complete like 180, but it's definitely like a veering off the scale.
It's like a side street for me. Yeah. Which is what the cover also is, looks like. It's sort of a side street. It's a good one, and it's also about the songs, which is always what I love, is like great songs. And this is a tribute to actually the idea of writing songs. It's just ironic for me as a songwriter that I wrote no songs on this album. But it was also a joy to just be able to try to, on stage and on the album, embody the characters that wrote these songs. To imagine Janis Ian at age, she wrote Society's Child at 13. Imagine her at 14 having that hit record, banned in some states, playing with the big boys in all these clubs, and she was really just almost like a preteen, you know, competing quite well with them. On this album, I do Sweet Misery, which was one of her more obscure songs on her third album for Verve. Listen to those lyrics. I mean, she's 16 years old, and she's already talking about life and death issues from the point of view of a 16-year-old, and it's very, very interesting to channel that, to sing that, for me to sing that, you know? There's a lot there about in the writing. That's what the album is really about. It's about this particular self-expression.
Richard Barone's here. His record is Sorrows and Promises, Greenwich Village in the 1960s. Now, we're recording this up at Cafe Lena because, you know, we're in the 1960s. We might as well be in one of the cool places that's been around since 1960, right?
Absolutely.
Would you be able to pick a song from this record and say, this is the one that made me say I had to do this? Is there one of those songs
out
here?
Phil Oakes' music is the centerpiece for me, and I do one song of his on the album, When I'm Gone. That, to me, is the key song, and it's also, it has a lot of elements of what I'm trying to do on this album within those lyrics, because it's personal, it's about romance, it's about politics, it's about all kinds of freedom, all kinds of self-expression and personal expression. Every verse has sort of a different aspect of humanity in it. So that, to me, Phil Oakes' When I'm Gone is the key song on this album for me.
And then when you have found the key song, How did you narrow down all those songs to 12?
Well, I was very lucky to have a great curator on the album. He's credited as A&R Direction, which is Mitchell Cohen, who worked both at Columbia Records and Verve and Arista, but was also a great writer, and a writer who I admired at Cream Magazine and other magazines, who wrote about me, and who I loved his reviews and his commentary and also his analysis of records. So he was great to work with, and he helped me pick the 12 and to narrow it down. And then a great producer, Steve Adabo, who had produced Suzanne Vega and Sean Colvin's debuts, and has just this year won the Grammy Award for Best Historic Release with the Bob Dylan 18 disc box set that came out on Columbia. He just produced and remixed that. We were surrounded with Bob Dylan's tapes while we were making this album. Steve was deeply into Tom Wilson's production work. Those are all Tom Wilson productions. We took a lot of cues from that. So I was very lucky to have Mitchell and Steve and then Nathaniel to do the photos as an amazing dream team. And not to mention the guest performers, Nellie Mackay, who's on the album. We do Pack Up Your Sorrows by Richard and Mimi Farina. And Alison Moorer, and we sing together Close the Door Lightly When You Go by Eric Anderson. By the way, he was hovering around when we did this album too. Jenny Muldaur, who sang with Lou Reed and John Cale, who wrote Sunday Morning, to do the song Sunday Morning with me as a duet. And I love Jenny. And her mother, of course, Maria Muldaur, who great vocalist from that era, and her dad, Jeff Muldaur, from that era. John Sebastian sings on the record. Dion sings on the record. David Amram plays piano on the record, and he played with many of these artists, including Bob Dylan and Tim Hardin. I'm sure I'm leaving some out. The Kennedys are on the album. It was a dream team all around. Dennis Dykin on drums from the Smithereens, and also Steve Hawley from Wings on drums, and Steve Hawley from everywhere. He's all over the place. He's one of the best drummers in the world, and so is Dennis Dykin. So, and then Steve and I played a lot of the other instruments ourselves. It's acoustic guitars, and we played live in the room with the drum with our drummer, and it was, I played a lot of bass on the record. I rediscovered my bass roots. That was my first instrument. It was a thrill making this record, and we did it in the old way. We did it like a 60s album. Everybody's in the room. We looked at the song, learned it, and played it. And that was it. It was very few overdubs.
Richard Barone, the album is Sorrows and Promises, Greenwich Village in the 1960s, up here at Cafe Lena. Thank you so much for stopping by.
Thank you, and I hope people check out the album. You know, they can find it at richardbarone.com.
Sweet. The last song you want to play for us?
Well, how about closing it with Bleecker Street by Simon and Garfunkel? The writing credit was actually Jerry Landis. That was Paul Simon's name at that time when he was part of Tom and Jerry with Art Garfunkel. The song is called Bleecker Street, and it's the only one that mentions a geographical location on the album.
Fog's running off the East River bank like a shroud. It covers Bleecker Street, fills the alleys where men sleep, hides a shepherd from the sheep. Voices leaking from a sad cafe, smiling faces try to understand. I saw a shadow touch a shadow's hand on Bleecker Street. Poet reads his crooked rhyme, holy, holy is his sacrament. $30 pays your rent on Bleecker Street. Church bell softly chime in a melody sustaining. It's a long road to Canaan on Bleecker Street. Mm-hmm. long road to Canaan on Bleecker Street.
I'm Richard Barone. This is 97.7 EXT. Support the music at exit977.org.